And welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we have right now for you and yours gift certificates, gift subscriptions at philhenryshow.com. I want you to go over there and get one for the Phil fan or for the hopelessly, just the hopelessly, comically and entertainably crippled person in your family.
Now, why are you starting the show with a... You used to say never start the show with a commercial.
Not a commercial. It's a promo.
It doesn't matter.
Because I'm taking my cue now from Art Bell. He's the guy that... Art used to start his show all the time with a commercial, so now I'm doing that.
Now, the other thing about my hopelessly entertainable...
Yeah, yes, I was going to mention that, Phil. You used a word there. I was looking in my pocket dictionary.
You keep a pocket dictionary?
Well, I keep, you know, the old senator from North Carolina, Sam Ervin, used to keep a constitution in his pocket.
I remember that, yes.
And I keep a dictionary because I'd much rather have the right word than to fumble and stumble about with the Constitution. As if someone says, for instance, as someone said the other day, what does lugubrious mean? And I pull a constitution out of my pocket, won't I look like the ass?
What do you mean, lugubrious?
It's a word. Someone asked me what it meant.
What does lugubrious mean?
Well, I don't know.
You have the dictionary.
Yes, I do have the dictionary in my pocket now. When they asked me, I had the Constitution.
Oh, so now you carry a dictionary.
Now I carry a dictionary because the other night I felt like the world's, I felt like I was running around like a horse's ass on this thing.
All right, so did you, find out, so you don't know, huh?
I do not, but I've got the dictionary. You want me to look it up?
Well, I know what it means.
What do you mean you know? Get a load of him. You know what it means, huh?
You know what lugubrious means.
Yeah, I know what it means.
Are you kidding me or something?
Why did you say that, Miss Henry?
You know, of all of you people asking me this stuff, not one person has said, what does it mean?
Well, it's a little shocking to... You know what lugubrious means.
Yeah, that's the part that's, I think, is taking us back a little bit.
Why is that such a scary thing?
Well, it's just... It's not a word you're going to right away want to know what a person know.
What? Say that again?
It's not, as Bud was saying, it's not a word.
My name's Bud, not Butt.
I didn't say Butt. God.
Hey, Bud, you're the nice one to talk. You butcher everybody's name six ways to sunset. Now all of a sudden someone sounds like they're saying Butt, and you get crazy.
What name do I butcher?
Never mind. I want to get to the bottom of this lugubrious thing. Are you telling me that because I know the meaning of this word...
Well, Mr. Herman, it's not a...
Fella, hold on, Robert. It's not a... It doesn't sound like it's a very nice word. That's all we're trying to say.
It doesn't sound like it's a very nice word.
No, it sounds... It sounds like a porn term. Now, hold on. You know, Phil, that you're going to have Bobby on here. She's talking about he, she, and that sort of thing because of her podcast. And you know that there are terms in that industry that bespeak something. For instance, I think there's a term that they use... Well, I shouldn't say it.
What? It's not a porn term.
Well, that it sounds...
That sounds like lube.
It ain't lube, you jackass. Just because it starts with an L and has a U in it. You guys kill me. I swear to God.
What other word is there?
What?
What other word are there? If you say lube, lagoo, you know.
Yeah, you're starting out saying lube.
You know something? Dumb doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of the world you guys live in, man. It's not dumb. You're living in a subterranean cavern of just numbskulledness, you know?
Oh, that's a good boy. What?
Phil, you're not doing yourself any favors with these words you're making up.
I can't find the words. Lugubrious means mournful, sorrowful, that kind of thing.
What?
So in other words, I went to my father's grave feeling lugubrious.
I don't know that that would necessarily be the right word to use. You might...
Well, why do you say that?
Because I don't think it is a description of a mood so much as it's a description of a, shall we say, the atmosphere around. Like, for instance, the parade had a lugubrious feel. You know, the music was lugubrious at best.
Well, why can't... What are you talking about, lugubrious? Why can't a person be lugubrious? Is it because of this... they're saying?
Do I have a kind of obscenity?
No, it's got nothing to do with obscenity. Why do you guys always go to that?
No, we're not.
it ain't got nothing to do with obscenity.
So I can't say, though, that I'm lugubrious for my father.
No, you can't, because it sounds porn.
See, that's my point.
No, it doesn't sound porn. I just have never heard anyone say, I feel lugubrious. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, so someone...
What was the context that you heard it?
The what?
What was the context in which you heard it, General?
Well, I was at a fundraiser, and it was a full-dress uniform fundraiser, and I was there with Mrs. Shaw, and I met Colonel Watson, Bill Watson, and I had served together, you know, in the infantry there at Sherrod Barracks in Hawaii, and we were meeting people. We were in the receiving line, and someone said that the entire day or the whole feel of the place was lugubrious in the extreme. Well, what's so funny?
You're at a party?
Yes.
Well, then that was not a very good review of the party.
So they were saying the party felt mournful.
Sounds like it to me. Sounds like it to me. The whole thing was lugubrious. Well, in any event, welcome to the show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm sorry I had to... it was spittle going down the wrong way, bud.
Yeah, I'm trying to hit the butt dump. And,
Bill, the butt dump?
What do you mean the butt dump? You mean the dump button?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the dump button. But I couldn't find it.
Well, it's too late now. He's already cleared his throat and made all kinds of guttural animal noises.
All right, well, excuse me. Had to clear my throat. So welcome to the program. We're going to have Bobby Dooley on to explain a podcast she did today having to do with some... This has gotten bigger probably than she wanted it to get. It was a podcast that she and Steve did. We're going to get her on here for just a moment. Her and her husband, Steve Dooley, I should say. Ms. Dooley, how are you?
Hello, Phil. How are you doing?
Good, good. And your podcast, the Bobby Dooley Podcast, is doing fantastic. I know that people are downloading it to the tune of several hundred thousand now per month. So you must be very gratified or feel very gratified.
Well, I'll say this, Phil. I don't feel lugubrious about it.
Yeah, we're not feeling lugubrious at this.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, we're trying to do a joke, and...
Darling, it's not time for a joke. Phil wants to ask you about these embarrassing terms you were using.
I know that, but I'm simply using the word lugubrious.
Lugubrious.
Or lugubrious as a funny thing. Forget it.
Well, okay, it's not a problem.
My wife took a lot of heat today. She's took some off the chin.
I wish you wouldn't say that, honey.
What?
I wish you wouldn't put it that way.
Well, I mean...
What happened?
Well, my wife took an awful lot of abuse today at a homeowner meeting. She took a few rights. She didn't want me to say, but it was like she got some chin music on.
Would you not say that, darling?
Why not?
Because I don't want people thinking I took anything off the chin, if you don't mind.
Well?
All right, but the point is you got a lot of people who were upset with you?
I wouldn't say upset, Phil. What happened was one of our... homeowners here, Kirsten Kirken, gosh, it's hard to say. Her and her husband, Duvain, their last name is Bootman. Karen and her middle name is Kirsten. I don't know why I can't say Karen Kirken Kirk.
No.
Well, Steve the other day had made an announcement by email, and he called her Karen Cuckoo, and you... They thought it was on purpose.
All right. Is her name Karen Kirsten Bootman?
Yes, yes.
Okay, there. I've said it for you. And what happened?
Mr. Henry,
Can I just talk to your wife, Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, what happened, Phil, was we did a podcast about Karen's application to our homeowners association. The application, Phil, was not entirely accurate. We found out that she had been involved in... acting in adult films, which is not in and of itself a problem, okay? But the problem was she was not honest. And we had a problem. She didn't have the problem. There wasn't a problem.
But we had a problem.
We had a problem.
All right, hold on for a minute, and let's talk about that. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here, talking about the homeowner in question, the Bootmans, and the fact they found out that she had done poor. You know, this is interesting, because we find out about teachers.
Well, yes, there are teachers. They find out they did a pornographic film. But a homeowner, I don't know that it's anyone's business.
Let's find out about it here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And we'll be right back after these very important messages. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445. On the line, Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association. When you send out an email to a homeowner in your community, Ms. Dooley, at telling them that they have a problem on their application for the Homeowners Association, are they already moved in? Are they already residents?
Well, yes, and many times they are because we didn't discover that there was this discrepancy. I don't want to say that Karen Kirsten Bootman was dishonest, but I will say that she was, her and her husband, I think, there was not full disclosure, okay?
You know about full disclosure, Mr. Henry?
I'm sorry?
Do you know about full disclosure?
Yeah, do you know about full disclosure? Yeah, I know about it. What do you mean, do I know about it? Yes, I do.
You know about...
You know that you have to be, you have to fully disclose it.
Yeah.
Steve, I'll do it if you don't mind.
All right.
Yeah, I know that you have to be fully, you have to disclose things, you know. And when this was a...
So you know that there is full disclosure then. And
yeah, I guess, I mean...
No, not guess.
Yes, if you fill out an application.
Yes, and this was her application. Have you ever, because we have an awful lot of people in the Hollywood business. This is L.A. A lot of your listeners may not understand this and really comprehend what our lifestyle is out here. But this is L.A., and so we have a lot of people in the entertainment business that live in our community. And so we have a lot of actors.
Yeah, I've got a lot of actors and actresses.
Yeah, that live here, actors and actresses that live here.
Yeah, and also directors.
Yeah, I would imagine that you do. So she is no different.
So she's no different. And her husband, Duvet, is a technician, Steve?
Well, he does a lot of... I don't know how do you say when a guy he has a screwdriver and everything.
Okay, never mind. Her husband works as an electrician. I think he does an awful lot behind the scenes. So Steve and I the other night, and this gets into this is why I wanted to explain it myself because it gets into some extremely very very delicate a delicate area.
Now, if you want, Bobby, I know the story because you told me the story, and I can help if you want.
I'd appreciate if just tell Phil in the audience why Steve and I found out that she was involved in pornographic movies.
Yes. As you know, Phil, Bobby's husband...
You know what? Never mind. I'll do it because I don't want you to.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to be sensitive.
I understand that, Margaret, but you don't understand, and I know that you do, but the reason for my husband is dysfunctional when pork is barbecued, Phil.
No, I know that you have claimed...
No, I'm not claiming anything.
I'm not a claim. This is real. This is cold, hard. This is USDA inspected.
Well, okay. It's true.
Yeah.
I understand that your husband has some sexual dysfunction when pork is being barbecued, when L.A. County...
No.
Steve, I'll do it, okay? You've got to let me do it, honey, because the last shred of decency that you have... I'm standing guarding it. You don't let me do this, and the decency and reputation you... Excuse me for a minute, Phil, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The decency and reputation that you have, honey, will fall away as if you just dropped your pants on purpose. Do you understand?
I wouldn't. I'm going to drop pants.
I know you wouldn't do it on purpose, but people will think it anyway. That's how nude you're going to be. So, Phil, what happened was this. We went out and we rented an adult film because we felt it would help Steve with his
dysfunction.
Dysfunction, yeah. It was one of Steve's favorite kinds. I'm going to have to say, honey.
Okay, all right.
And it was something that he enjoys. It's something that's called he/she.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
See,
you already know what you have to explain.
Don't tell me what to do, Steve. I'm sorry, Phil.
You know, guys, I don't want to be party to a a domestic dispute.
No, it's okay. Don't tell me what to do. Don't ever do that. You know that, don't you? My God, of all the things you don't know, at least you know that you never interrupt me.
Yeah, you're right.
So we got what is called the he-she. We didn't know, and this I didn't know, was a he-she, he-he, and I know that this is going to make you laugh.
No, is a he-she, he-he a comedy?
Yes, it is, involving she. Yes, I'm sorry. God, Phil.
God, see, you're already carving it up.
All right, folks, let me just interrupt. Because with you telling the story, what I'm getting here is that you guys went out to get an adult film to help with Steve and this problem. And I don't think this is unusual. I think many couples do it.
You started out to say some couples, as if it's a minority.
No. I meant to say many couples do it. All right. By the way, can I ask a question at this point?
Go ahead.
Has Steve tried Viagra?
No way. Not a chance, pal.
All right, I'm just asking, sir.
Well, I mean, you know, if that's something you or other guy need, not me.
My husband is far too much of a man for that.
Okay, fine. I mean, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with manhood. You know, if the guy is...
No, Phil, it's not a big deal, okay? God.
What do you think I am, you know? No way in hell will I ever use Viagra. No way.
Okay, fine. I just thought, you know, it's something to consider, although... Okay, so,
You
saying he's thumb blank?
I didn't say anything about thumb anything. I'm just saying it's something to try. Continue, please.
I forget where we were.
You're talking about renting this movie, and it was a he-she, and...
Yeah, well, what it was, and we didn't know this, it was a he-she, what's called in the business a she-he-he-he.
It's called she-he? No, it's called...
Don't do it, Steve. And what those are, Phil, those are he-she's that are comedies. And apparently our neighbor, Kirsten, was involved. She's not a he-she.
Yeah, she's not a she-he or a he, or a he-he, not, I mean.
If you don't take the phone away from your mouth and give it back to me, Steve, I will knee you in, I'll say it, the testicles.
Oh, my God.
All right, Ms. Dooley, that is not going to happen while you're on the air.
I'm sorry.
Dear, you have to get it under control. Can I just sum up?
Go ahead.
Phil, what happened was, obviously, you heard the story. They went, they got this film. Their neighbor, Kirsten, had done a couple of these adult films involving the he-she's, and apparently one of them was a comedy. In the parlance of the business, they're called he-she-he-he's or he-he-she-he. See, it even confuses.
Yeah, I read up on it, if you want to know anything about it.
Yeah, right. What do you mean you read up on it? You probably have it.
No, you probably haven't, man. In fact, I broke into Bud's apartment and I found him there.
No, you didn't.
Hey! Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I read up. It's called a he-he. It's called a he-he. And...
Well, what is?
The she-he, the comedies are called he-he. And the most porn that they call it's porn is funny. It's just funny. It's comedy. But on the she-he, they call it she-he.
You just said they call a she-he a she-she.
No, I did not, man.
Hold on. No, I understand what you're saying, Robert. So this young lady that is your neighbor and her husband.
Well, and Steve, you found out.
Yeah, I talked to Duvet, and I said, hey, I guess you know what happened. He goes, yeah, I heard all about it. He said it was all over. It was all over the community center that you and Bobby had gone into your house to try to, you know, get a fire going, and you had a she-he-he-he. And I said, yeah, and I've seen your wife in it. And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, but I was in it too. And I go, what? And he said, no, I was a technician. I was on set on the he-he. And apparently he works a lot of the she-we-we-he. Darn it.
Well, and then the problem is, Phil, they also do the water sport videos with the he-she's that are wee-wees. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so, and I said, well, do you do a lot of this? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, you do it, it confused the hell out of me.
See, I think this is rather asinine to, why don't you just call it what it is? And what difference does it make whether it's water sports? It's very offensive to me as a female.
Well, what do you think it is to me, Margaret? I've got a husband who can't perform if someone's making a piled pork scene pork pack. Oh, God.
They're making a pile of pork porcine pet. Piatti.
Now, you guys told me earlier, a piled pork pack sandwich, right?
In a pita, yeah.
In a pita. All right. Take a break. And I don't know whether or not this has anything to do. I don't know if it's really important. But what they did do is they saw this movie, and in this movie was their neighbor, you know.
Yeah, and she's all doing the hee-hee.
Well, the whole thing, no, her husband, Duvet, and I know Duvet Bootman, he's a wonderful guy. He's been a technician on a lot of the he-she-wee-wee. Well, never mind.
Yeah, see, it's going to get really bad, man. Anyway, we'll be back, because the problem is that these people may lose their home. Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show, as we negotiate our way through a very interesting thicket here this evening. On the line with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. 855-500-7445 is our number, and we'll take some phone calls here. But first, I want to just kind of clarify what we're talking about. And I'm not, you know, everybody is doing fine here, but we've got a lot of terms I don't think we need, you know.
Steve wanted to, Steve.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm sorry that I brought up all the she-he-wee-wee, only because it tends to confuse.
Well, when your neighbor, when you saw her in this movie, were you not aware of these kinds of subgenres?
Well, yes. When you say subgenre, what's that mean?
He means, darling, there's the he-she, and then there's the he-he.
Yes, we were, but I don't know. I guess not, because all of a sudden, it was a hee-hee, and there was Kirsten, and
we knew it was a hee-hee, because she got on a clown nose, and I shouldn't say the two guys, it was a guy, it was a hee-hee, and there was two hee-hees, and her, which made it,
Don't, it was a group sex thing, and they have a term for it, it's called a we-three, so everything is, it rhymes with he-she.
That's what's confusing everyone.
Yeah, I know that, and that's why I didn't say it.
But it's a group sex.
Well, what do they call it?
Well, it's called a she-he-we-three.
A she-he-we-three, and then you can imagine if the she-he-we-three that's also water sports, it's a she-he-we-three-wee-wee.
And a he-he.
Yes, and...
Okay, so what does all of this have to do with, you know, discovering your neighbor?
Well, I mean, my God, you're shocked, you are stunned, you are... You know, I really had to compose myself. I wept.
Oh, please.
Excuse me?
What do you mean you wept?
Who is that?
This is Margaret. What do you mean you wept?
I mean I cried, Margaret. This is my neighbor. All right? And there's my husband getting an eyeball full of her in a wee-wee. In a she-hee. That's a he-hee. Oh, that's a comedy, I mean. And there's Steve getting a full eyeball full. Now, what do you think he's going to do with that information? Next thing you know, they're over at the espresso machine in the community center. They're at the barista over there at the juice bar, the wheatgrass bar. Or they're... I found myself looking to see if they'd made a court time together or a tea time.
So you suspect that your husband may be cheating on you with her?
No.
She's got nervous about it because I got an eyeball full of the hee-hee. I mean, you know, the comedy.
Right.
All right. So anyway, I'm sorry to hear that. So,
That sounds very rude.
It did sound rude, Phil. It didn't sound, you know, it didn't sound sincere when you went, you know, so anyway, you know.
Well, I'm trying to get to the point where you got a problem with your neighbor because she lied.
Well, she did lie. So that's when Steve talked to Duvet. All right.
By the way, what kind of a name is Duvet?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. Do I look like I'm French? I guess it's a, you know.
Is he an American?
What difference does that make, Mr. Henry? We're not xenophobic, or however you say that. We're not...
It's called xenophobic.
All right. Well, we're not xenophobic?
Xenophobic. Oh, God.
I'm not a college-educated woman, Margaret.
I gathered.
Okay, that's fine. I'm a mother.
As am I.
I've got three sons, excuse me, and a husband.
Yes, if there isn't pork. Barbecuing.
You know, Steve, why do you have to be dysfunctional when there's pork barbecue? I always take it. I take it off the chin.
You're not taking it off the chin. I mean, she's just giving you a hard time.
What is this taking it off the chin? What does that mean?
I wish that you wouldn't say that.
You brought it up.
I don't like the term because it sounds like a porn term. I'm trying to give you the straight scoop on everything.
I want to cut to the chase here, if you don't mind, because I want to get to a phone call. What is the problem with the neighbor now?
Because we found out she lied when we asked, have you appeared in any adult films?
And you put this on a homeowners association application.
Yeah, we do, because that's on account of we live in Hollywood and on account of people work in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, work in the moving picture business.
Yeah, in the moving picture business.
Okay, so people in Hollywood work in the moving picture business, and you want to make sure the moving pictures aren't porn.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have anything to do with them being in a he-she that's a comedy, or a he-she that's a quote-unquote wee-wee or a water sport one. It just has to do with the fact that she's in a...
Well, being in a he-she is no biggie because this is L.A. and everybody's in the entertainment business. But the more subgenre she's involved in, you begin to ask yourself, is she into it, you know? So if she's in a he-he and a wee-wee, or, you know, what you said, if she's in a she-he, we-he, wee-wee... Shoot.
Yeah, well, that was true, because she was in a combo. That's called a he-she, we-he. And if she had...
Wait, are you guys making this up?
Yeah, what is this?
Making up what?
What do you mean a he-she, we-he? It sounds to me like you guys...
Mr. Hendry, this is devastating. This girl is a friend of mine, and I may have to tell her to get out. Her and her two children and her husband, take her pornographic career somewhere else.
I can't believe that's legal. We'll take a phone call. Our number, 855-500-7445. And here is Roy on the freeway in Los Angeles. Roy, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. I guess you have. I can't believe what she's saying. I've watched these movies a good 30 years, and I've never seen or heard of a he, she, we, we, or...
You've never... Well, I'm sorry, but that's what it's called.
Yeah, where did you... I've heard of a he-he, but I never heard of a wee-he.
A wee-he? You never heard of a wee-he?
No, I have not. I've watched these films. I've got a collection that... you don't know who I am, but you ask around. Ask any of your friends that know anything about these films, and they'll tell you that Roy Kinnaird has more of these movies than anyone.
Do you know, by the way, do you know a guy named Chris Norton?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Chris claims he's got the largest single...
Yeah, he's got the biggest collection of porn overall, but I've got more he-he. I got more she-he. And, you know...
Do you have the wee-wee?
See, we don't call it that. You two people are you're making a mockery out of a serious business and a lot of hardworking people. Okay?
I'm not trying to do that, sir.
You're going to kick this girl out out of her house, and she's going to be homeless.
I don't think she's going to be homeless. You know, I think that she's going to be fine. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, of her finding a house to live in.
Well, I mean, are you telling me that because a woman is in a porno movie?
No, it's because she did a wee-wee. No.
You don't understand. I think I understand very well, mister. And what I'm hearing here is that you... And your wife think it's a big laugh to look at these movies and to gratify yourself in the confinement of a bathroom or, you know, where in your basement. And meanwhile, there's a woman, a husband, and two kids that are walking down a rain-swept street. And that was the very actress that was in that he-he not moments before that you put out in the street.
I don't want to do that, sir.
Well, that's what you're going to do. You ask around, Roy Kinnaird is my name, and I've got a big collection of these he-wees. Not he-wee. I've never heard of a he-wee.
Hello. What happened to my microphone? What is a... why am I not being able to... Why do I not hear myself? What is a... Oh, I know what happened. Bud?
You're fooling with the EQ, and I have the wrong one.
I'm sorry, it's my fault. What is the term? You've never heard this wee-he.
I never heard of a wee-he. Are you kidding?
My understanding is that that's commonplace.
No, it's not commonplace. Never heard of anything of that sort.
All right, sir. Thank you. I'm sorry, I had a technical malfeasance there. What I was adjusting the equalization on one of the
Phil, no one understands what you're saying. Just move on.
Yeah, nobody gets it.
Well, I'm going to say it anyway because some people may find it interesting. I don't know. But I was adjusting the equalization, which you don't have to know what that is, and I caused my microphone to have a radically different sound, and now it's back, and thank you very much. All right, so you're going to be talking to this woman and saying what?
Well, Phil, I'm going to be talking with Kirsten tomorrow morning. I'm going to tell her that we have... we had seen the film. She knows this already from Duvet. And a number of other people from around the community have already talked to her. Barton and Carl Winspring, and also Preston Gomez, or not Preston Gomez, Preston, Clarence Gomez has talked to them, and Preston Fields has talked to them.
I know. Preston's a songwriter. I know him very well. He wrote the song Do the Duck, which everyone was laughing at, but I did that the other night at the Greer Garson buffet.
Okay.
So.
Oh, did he write that?
Yes, he did.
Do the Duck.
You're laughing, Phil? I think it's going to be wonderful.
Okay, Margaret, please.
No, I think it's going to be wonderful someday. I'll say, I know Phil Henry, and everyone will go, and they'll get a look on their face like, what a joke you are.
Margaret, I did not do that.
Yes, you did.
Well, you said this guy wrote the song Do the Duck, and I saw the lyrics to it on Facebook. I didn't want to bring it up.
There's lyrics to it?
Yes, there's lyrics to Do the Duck. Well, it's a dance. I'm going to go and have a cigar. I'll be right back.
Yeah, it was good. There's also a lighter in the kitchen.
Thank you, bud.
Well, Levy, I've been sitting, Phil, very quietly trying to take this. Well, I'll go out with Margaret because this is blowing my mind six ways to sunset, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
May I go too?
Go ahead. You, Robert?
No, I'm okay.
But what happened?
Everyone's clearing out. The whole thing's so weird. Hold on. I'm sorry. All right. So anyway, when we come back, we'll find out if Bobby's still there, because, you know, if I laugh, my guests, they hang up because that's just too humiliating. So if she's still there when we come back, we'll find out about her eventually telling Kirsten Bootman and her husband Duvet and their two daughters to get out. And, and we'll find out about how Preston Gomez was a coach for the LA Dodgers. I don't know what that's got to do. Preston Shields, the author of Do the Duck.
That's good. You're going to be all pissed off.
Do I look like I care?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Our number is 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, listen, get a backstage pass, get a gift subscription for the one you love. I'll tell you what, there's no better way to shop for Christmas than on our website. It's a big Christmas sandwich, and we all got to take a bite. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I've got some background noise that Bud, I would like you to investigate. It may be coming off of a website that we have up, and you know what I'm saying?
What?
Sometimes you have a website or something that is being... You may have a browser open, and as it turns out, the way we work and the way a lot of you guys probably work, you've got five or six or seven different pages open, and you may not know that one of them is spontaneously, you know...
Spontaneously erupted.
Well,
now, can't you mute that?
I muted the audio on one of our computers, but it may not be muted on all. I can't mute it on all of them because we need audio on. In any event, welcome back here. The world famous Phil Henry Show, Ms. Dooley, along with her husband, Steve Dooley. And I think we have Mr. Duvet Bootman on the phone, and Mr. Bootman, the husband of Kirsten Collins Bootman, Mr. Duvet, it's good to talk to you. Bootman, I'm getting this wrong, sir. How are you? Sir, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm very fine, thank you.
I'm sorry to bother you, and I'm sorry if I've gotten your name wrong.
No, it's Bootman is right. Uh,
Your name is, and your wife is?
My wife's Kirsten, and I can tell you that this has nothing to do with anything my wife has done. This is entirely the manufacturer of Ms. Dooley.
I don't think so, DeVay. I've talked in good earnest conscience with yourself and Kirsten about the he, she, he, we.
These are films that I have been working on, and I've put my whole life into them. And these are movies that have meant so much to me. And these are creations. This is my art as well as my living. It's how I support my family. And my wife, who I respect more than life itself.
Yes, sir.
I would never ask her to do anything that she would be uncomfortable doing. Now, the he-she, we-we, and the he-he, which I'm very proud to say is the slang, and we use the slang term, Mr. Henry.
Okay.
You know, and we have nothing to hide. I'm very proud to say that my wife has been involved in he-he, we-he, we-three, and the he-he-he-he, which are...
Those are, if I could.
What?
Well, those are he-she's that are, or she-he's that are real funny.
Yes, that's correct. And we've won 5 adult film awards. The Klondike.
What is the Klondike?
That's the adult film award that they give in Las Vegas. There's only one town you can get a Klondike. And I made the joke about the Klondike bar, but everyone looked at me. I still feel bad about it.
I don't really know what you're referring to, sir, but I will say...
What I'm referring to is my profession, is something that's very important to me and my wife. And this is absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. I'm not going to accept it.
Well, you'd be happy to know that we have reversed... I reversed my ruling. I overruled myself. I had voted, and then I immediately exercised executive power over myself and had myself censored for my vote, and I voted yes for you to stay.
Well, then that is good. That's a good outcome. Because I can tell you, we were ready to file a lawsuit that caught to any court in the union.
I want to just tell you, Duvet, you know me, I'm a straight-up guy.
You're a good guy, Steve. You're a good guy.
I know. And I didn't want my wife... And I love my wife, too, though.
I know you do, but when your wife said that she's on the she-hee, I said, look, did you know it was a he-hee? She said, I did not know, because if I know, those are only he-she that my wife, Kirsten, will do.
And this one was an award winner, huh?
This was an award winner. This was a he, she, we three, he.
You know, this sounds like a joke, you know?
I was just about to say, a he, she, we, he. This is asinine.
Asinine? Okay. Mr. Henry said that we could use the slang. If you don't, I can certainly... it was a he, she comedy, adult comedy, that was a 4-star by the review panel, okay? And it was a group sex, 4-star comedy. There. That work for you? You know?
Yes, that works for me, because when you say it was a he, she, we three, he, it sounds like a joke.
It sounds like you're putting us on, and no one's going to believe it.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. I've seen Kirsten's work, and I've got pork, you know, just like a lot of guys. I've got my problem with the pile of pork products and the way they smell. And I got to look at something that's going to blot that out. She does it.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad that you gave me a pat to come on your program here to talk about it. Wouldn't have a chance either way.
Yeah, okay. You all right?
I'm very good, yeah. And I'm good now, before. I didn't like what was being said, you know.
Well, we hope that Kirsten's all right, too, because... I think she is a very, very dear girl, and I know that, of course, your family is important to you as well, Duvet.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's what I was hearing, but I'm hearing music there.
Oh.
Ms. Dooley and Steve, so you have overruled yourself. Is that correct?
Yes, and I wanted people to know that that may sound like I'm the biggest freak in the world.
No, doesn't.
Well, no, when I say that I voted and then I immediately overruled my vote, what I was doing was...
Yeah, she had...
Don't do it, Steve, because I'm going to talk about the contingency. What's it called when you have a lot of people that support you?
A contingency. No, it's a constituency.
What?
What are you saying? Now you've confused her further.
Constituency.
I can't pronounce that.
It's called a constituency, dear. Constitch.
Oh, a constitch.
Constituency.
It sounded like something is creeping around behind your table, Mr. Henry.
Why do you say that?
Because I heard, as Margaret was talking, I heard something go, eep. Oh, forget it.
You know, Phil, you can laugh if you want, but you've got people listening who call, and they call into the talk program to be informed, and you haven't informed anyone of anything. The only thing you're informing people of is your deteriorating mental state. That's what you're informing people of. Is that something you want to laugh about?
Dude.
No, not dude. No dude, nothing. Is that something you want to laugh about?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I want to laugh about it, man. I'll be right back, folks. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Now, I had up on the screen here momentarily some weather. There's a weather map. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you know that we've been sort of fumbling and stumbling our way through the weather map here. But I have a radar, and one of our studios in Washington, when I say one of our studios, a studio that we use that allows us to uplink to our various stations is in Washington, and our good technical director and friend Nikki is there, and she's in D.C., and I said, I'm looking at the radar here, and I don't see any weather coming your way, and she goes, that's great. I said, oh, wait a minute. I was looking at this hour. I have to look at the future, and...
And what does it mean, the future?
You're looking into the future of it?
You can look and see which way the wind's blowing, man, as the, you know, as the song says.
Well, what does that mean, which way the wind's blowing? You have to be specific. There are people out there, Phil. This weather is very serious.
I understand that. And the weather that I'm looking at for the D.C. Baltimore area is a band of clouds containing ice heading their way from the south, the southwest, and it's traveling northeast. And it looks like it's going to go right across the Washington and Baltimore metropolitan areas later tonight. So the weather that has been hitting the rest of the country... is pretty intense, lots of snow, and I remember watching TV 3 years ago, I think it was, 3 or 4 years ago, when Washington, D.C. got hit with a big load of snow overnight, man. They had, I don't know how many feet of snow that was dumped on the city. How many? December, January, and February, three storms, and, oh, good Lord. How many feet of snow was that? Just, like, 50,000 feet? Yeah, it can't even be counted, folks. People were digging their way out.
Well, you're talking about snow, though. All you got to do is melt it.
Yeah, you know, they'll melt it.
What do you mean, all you have to do is melt it, bud? What does that mean?
Well,
you know, if it's too cold, how do you melt it?
Bud, it turns to ice, you jackass. That means that people's cars... Oh, God, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, and the other thing that you haven't even mentioned, Phil, is have you ever driven on that stuff?
Yes, I have, General. I have.
You have?
Yes.
And where was that?
That was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Holy gee. So you know from whence you speak. Because we had in Alaska, you're speaking of Alaska, and in Newfoundland, we were at an air station in Newfoundland, and I can tell you, without further ado, that it was some kind of hell on earth.
What was the United States military doing in Canada? You're kidding.
Oh, the United States has a couple of military installations in Canada. Don't even worry about it. You bet.
We do?
Oh, sure. Why are you surprised?
Because Canada's a sovereign nation. Why would they have U.S. military installations there?
because of the fact that we're the defense umbrella for Canada. In other words, the Canadian people, God bless them, do not have to invest as much of their GNP and their GDP. And the GDP, I'm sorry, excuse me, get me water, Bud, because I'm speaking now, Bud.
Yes, sir.
Bud?
Yes, sir.
I'm speaking about national defense, and I don't want to come off sounding like a voice-cracking punk, you know, jail bitch.
Alan, get some now.
Hold on, please.
All right, General Shaw, I'm sorry about your cold.
That's all right. Yeah, that's better. Boy, that's lousy water. Where do you get your water around here?
Just regular water.
God, did you come through pipes? Never mind, I can taste the metal. All right, now, what I was saying is, the United States, because it provides the only defense umbrella that Canada has, naturally, we have to have military installation there. The Canadian people save much of their GDP, the GNP, the GDP, and the GNP. And
well, you said that twice, sir.
I'm sorry. The GDP, gross domestic product, and the GMP, well, you can't say that word.
What?
I'm not going to say. I told you, you can't say the N-word.
The GNP.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the gross, well.
The gross.
Don't say it. Are you nuts or something?
Who are you calling smile when you say that?
But, General, the GNP, gross national product, you can't say the N-word.
Well, my friend, if I see N by itself anywhere, let me tell you, I've got sensitivity.
Really? What about the NFL?
Well, I thought that was well.
Oh, my God, you racist.
That is not racist.
Oh, so you thought it was the N-word football league.
Well, think about it.
You know what, General?
Hold on for a minute. I didn't name that league. That was someone else named that league.
National Football League. National Football League. Gross national product.
Phil, I'm not accustomed to being speaked to in the way in which you're doing it, okay?
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not drunk. Have I been drinking? Ask me that.
Have you been drinking?
Yes, I have.
Well, that's his problem.
No, I don't have a problem. The only problem I have is not being heard. At a time like this...
General, let me get you another Nilla wafer.
At a time like this...
Yeah, there he goes.
Well, what in the hell do you think got into him?
I don't know. He's retired, and he's got his days to him, as his wife Patsy does all that volunteer work. I think he goes down to the VFW and just gets hammered before he comes in here. The N-word football league.
Man, because he's a general, I didn't say anything. You know, because he devoted his life to defending this country. That's very offensive.
You know what? There's something wrong with him, man. Something wrong. Well, yeah, he's drunk. So anyway, the GDP and the GNP, so he was going to say that, the Canadian people devote a lot of their, they don't have to devote a lot of their GNP or GDP to their national defense.
Well, I think that makes the Canadian people look a little bit chicken-esque, and I think that's wrong. I think it's very wrong.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It means that they know. Look, Canada knows which side of the bread they understand, and the United States has made it probably very clear to them, we'll take it from here. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have a defense force. Yes, they do. And I'm not saying they don't have a navy and an army. Yes, they do, and they've got a very good air force. But the fact is, it's a small country, and the U.S. and Canada, there's no question in my mind, have a longstanding understanding that we will take the lead when it comes to the North American defense strategy. I'm not saying that we're going to tell them what to do, but I mean, we've got the hardware, you know, we got the radar, we can scramble the bombers and all that jazz.
Now, what does that mean, scramble the bombers?
Means put them up in the air.
Yeah, it's when they scramble it.
Well, what does that mean, though?
When they scramble a bomber?
Yes.
They scramble to it.
It means they fly. They scramble them. They get them up in the air.
Yeah, but they're scrambling to it.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. They're scrambling to it.
What?
I guess Bud's saying that before the plane takes off, they got to scramble out to the... Is that what you mean, Bud?
Yeah, because they're sleeping, and then they go... Dee-dee, or whatever it is, like an... what do you call it?
An alarm.
Yeah. What are you getting all weird about it for?
Because you're taking forever here, man.
So when the alarm goes off... which probably sounds like dee 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 or something like that. Then they scramble out of their bed.
Yeah.
Do they have scrambled eggs for breakfast?
Wow, that's great. Wow, that's high comedy.
Well, dude, you know, you're the guy that leans on. You take a word, bud, you can make a whole show out of one word. So anyway, they scrambled, yeah, the Jets, the Bombers, all that jazz.
Well, I don't like, you have relatives in Canada, Phil. How dare you make them look like they're chicken crap?
I'm not saying anything of the sort. You got to really run a long way to reach that conclusion. I haven't said anything of the sort. I agree with the general that there's no question that the Canadian National Forces, the Canadian Defense Forces, coordinate with the United States military. There's no question that we have a coordinated strategy for the defense of North America, should it be the case. Look, let me tell you something. After 9/11, on that day, when we shut U.S. airspace down, those planes diverted to Canada. Now, that wasn't just all of a sudden made up on like, oh, well, I guess we'll just open up a bunch of airports. There was an emergency protocol that went into place, I'm sure, that the Canadians were very well aware of, had probably drilled for, or at least had a familiarity with in terms of the process and procedure. They were ready to take all of that international traffic. They were ready to clear out the runways and clear the, clear the decks and get everybody safely landed. Now, that happened on that day. Nobody gave them, nobody called them up and said, hey, today we're going to be closing American airspace. You guys better be ready.
Well, that's a good point. What was the name of that man who ran the FAA, Gene Slime?
Sliney. His name was Ben Sliney. S-I-S-L-I-N-E-Y.
Ben Sliney.
Not Slimy. Don't start going down that road, man.
No, he's going on the road. You said Slimy.
No, I didn't. I said Sliney. Ben Sliney. And if you see the great movie United 93 by Paul Greengrass, the same guy who's done West of Memphis and some other things, that role of Ben Sliney was played by Ben Sliney. He played himself. In fact, they told the story when Paul Greengrass was looking to cast United 93 because it was a improv'd film.
They were looking for someone to play Ben Slime.
Ben Sliney.
Yes.
They were. And Greengrass, I think he said, he called up, or Ben Sliney said, he called me up and he said, we're looking for someone to play you and we haven't found him yet. And Sliney said, well, then why don't you just use me? And they did. He was terrific. The whole movie is amazing. If you haven't seen it, you should. United 93, done as an improvisational piece within the confines of a certain document that they'd written for that movie. Okay, you're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Twitter nears an all-time high as it is profiting off of your web history. Did you know that? A terrible, no good, rotten, stinking year for Daniel Snyder. We got to get Joe Dickhead and the professor on. They had a wretched weekend of picking NFL games, as I figured they probably would, and how one 65-year-old spent years making porn with his wife's blessing. And we probably should have read that before we talked to Bobby and the crew, but hey, whatever. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445. We'll be right back with our Tweeterton story here. Hello. Oh, I muted the audio. So that was great.
Yeah, nice thinking.
Sorry. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I'm sitting there talking to Nikki. I said, you know what? I'm hearing noises. I don't know what that is, but I know what I'll do. I'll just mute the audio. Yeah, great. You mute the audio and no audio. There it is. Sorry.
Good thinking.
World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and hi. I'm looking at all kinds of snow stuff. There's just a archival storm footage on the Weather Channel, and they were interviewing a guy who had been caught in a snowstorm as a mountain climber. All kinds of stories, all kinds of stories. And especially if here in the United States, it can happen here. It doesn't have to happen at 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 feet. It can happen while you're driving your car. It can happen when you just suddenly, for whatever reason, you lose the electrical in your car, you run out of gas. If you run out of gas, that's a bad thing.
If you run out of gas, we know the reason. You're a real clown. And let that, and I underline that three times.
Why?
if you run out of gas.
But if it's 60 below wind chill and you run out of gas, good luck.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Give me this well, yeah. So anyway, it can happen right here in right here at ground zero, man. You know, at regular elevations. And you've seen it happen. You've read about it. People getting, you know, lost in the you know, lost in the snow, or perhaps the car stalled and they had to spend the night in the car. Sometimes it's fatal, you know.
But I read about a guy hugging his dog one time.
What are you talking about?
He survived, man, because he hugged his dog.
Oh, I read about that.
Yeah, he stayed warm by hugging his dog, and the dog stayed warm by hugging him.
The dog hugged him. You guys have got to be high on a mixture of chemicals.
Bud, you know something? Just what you need to do is realize that you're a jackass and you don't know everything, okay? Anyway, welcome back, and we certainly do wish everybody in our listening audience who's affected by this weather, we want you to be safe and we stay warm. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be like a...
Well, I think it's just lovely to have the white Christmas.
Yeah, but Margaret, there have been fatalities.
I'm just saying, yes, you're right, and that's bad, but the white Christmas, you know.
Yeah, it's sad that there's so much snow that people are being hurt by it.
But if you think of the, when was the last time, you know, I remember the Dickensian, you know what the Dickensian is, don't you?
Yes, as it pertains to Charles Dickens.
Yes, and...
As it pertains to who?
Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens, all right. And that's called Dickinson?
Dickensian.
Okay. All right, I follow. Go right ahead.
Yes. The Dickensian vision of Christmas is...
What's that?
Hey, Bud.
I said already, Bud. Do you want me to go Three Stooges on you? You remember when I said I'm going to go Mo Howard on you and you laughed?
Yeah.
I meant it. I'm going to take these two fingers and I'm going to...
Hey.
She almost put it in my eyes.
That's right.
Take it easy.
You're gonna go Mo Howard all over me. Wow, that's kind of perverted.
I didn't mean sexually. You wish. Okay?
All right. The two of you, knock it off.
In any event, Dickensian, not Dickinson, is about...
Well, hold on. I'm the one that said Dickinson's. He didn't. The idiot here did not. I did that, not the idiot.
Well, I'm putting it on him anyway, all right? He said it, he got it. And there goes Phil laughing again.
I don't know why that cracks me up when you say that, but it just does.
What?
He said it, he got it.
I don't know why.
What a babbling goon. So... Charles Dickens and, oh, God, you see, I'm straining to be heard. I'm straining to bring sanity back into this program. I'm going, Charles Dickens brought into Christmas the vision of the snowbound streets, the silence of winter, the silence of a Christmas Eve, as if the earth itself is asleep under that blanket of snow, awaiting the dawning of that blessed day, the winter solstice, the birth, yes, the birth of the Savior and the Son of Man, Jesus. And I'd like to bring on the line right now, Phil. You said I could do this.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Raj Fanin, and Raj is in Los Angeles. And Raj, you are a big lover of Christmas, aren't you?
Thank you, Margaret. Yes, I am a big lover of Christmas this great time of year, and the Dickensian, you said it, man. It's great.
Now, Raj, you're from Egypt.
That's right, but living in America, you know, I've come to love the different holidays, and I love this Christmas, you know, and we love to sing the different Christmas carol. My son, Todd, you know, was born here in America, but he speaks Arabic, you know, because he wants his Arab roots to be good, you know, to be firm, you know. But he loves the Christmas too, Todd, huh? Yeah, he says that Santa Claus is a good old boy, you know.
Now, Raj, you and the family moved to the United States when?
We came here about 4 years ago, and I was set up business with my brother. We do insulation for aircraft insulation in the San Fernando Valley, you know.
All right. And originally, you observed all of the traditional Muslim holidays?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, Ramadan and what happened, and I don't mean any disrespect, but the song on the radio, my son thought, he says, Daddy, what is this song, Ramadan? And I said, it's American, it's American. No, it's American. He said, but Daddy, I said, and so I listened to his song, Rama Lama Ding Dong. I said, oh, man, no, you can't, it's going to mess everybody up. Well, sure enough, you know, I come home and Todd says, hey, Mommy, and he says to his uncle, Uncle Azul, he has a song called the Rama Lama Ding Dong, and they're like, what the hell, you know? It messed us up for weeks, you know, before we got back to what I call, we got back to the center, you know, got back to ground zero, you know.
What, so just the name of the song, Rama Lama Ding Dong?
You know the song goes, I've got a girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the song.
Todd heard the song. He goes, Todd, can you hear the song of Rama Lama Ding Dong?
Okay, he's singing it like in Arabic.
He don't want to sing it in English, you know, because when he's not at school, he wants to practice Arabic, right? Got a bit on?
All right, go ahead. Well, we only have a minute, so hold on.
What did he just say?
I don't want to say.
What did he say?
He said it was a pain in the ass. But he wasn't meaning you, you know.
All right, hold on. We got a minute. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Raj. Why do we have Raj Fanin on?
Because I thought it would be nice to have on a man whose family is learning to celebrate the various and sundry holidays that we have in America. Not that Christmas is exclusively American, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, sort of. All right, we'll be back.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah, okay. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show.
So I'm left. I just took one off the chin.
Hey, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What do you got, bud?
That found a ding-dong.
Why don't you speak in full...
Take it easy, Margaret.
I hate how he doesn't speak in full sentences.
You went out and did what?
I went out and got a ding-dong.
What do you mean? May I, bud?
Certainly, General.
Thank you.
What are the two of you all of a sudden? Nixon and Kissinger... You know,
take it easy, will you, Margaret?
You know, Margaret, if you showed a little more patience with the boy...
I show patience with him, and he's looking...
She thinks I'm looking up her skirt.
In any event, what Bud is saying is we went and we looked up this ding-dong or whatever the hell this thing is.
Ram-a-lam-a ding-dong, is that it?
Yes, because Mr. Fanin was saying that it momentarily confused his family... as to the celebration of Ramadan. Now, I don't get it, and I'm not blaming the religion of Islam, obviously, is sacred, just as Christianity. I think Mr. Fanin himself is an imbecile. Please, is he on hold? Good. I think he sounds like he needs another quart of oil, if you know what I mean. And
all right, well, that may be the case, but you guys went out and found the song, so... What we can do is at some point play it. I don't know. We're talking with Raj Fanin here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have his son, Todd, with us as well, and we're discussing Christmas. And actually, this all started out with a discussion, Margaret, between yourself and myself. We were talking about the Dickensian view of Christmas. Dickensian meaning the Charles Dickens view of Christmas, which is the snow and so forth. So, Raj, that you appreciate that, huh?
Oh, yeah. The snow, you know... Excuse me, the snow and it's great, you know, we love it. You know, I don't know a lot about the religion, you know, but then there's not a lot of people who understand the religion of the Muslim, you know. But so I said to Todd, you know, look, a lot of people in the Christian faith, you know, they make fun. They have, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, bopping down the Santa Claus lane, and this. So it says, Ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong, you know, what'd you say, Todd? Todd said, yeah, it sounds like it's a send-up of Ramadan. I said, I got a girl, she and I celebrate Ramadan. And then I, you know, talked to a couple of people from our mosque, and they said, no way, man. No, you can't do that. I wouldn't touch that, man.
Meaning they didn't think it was funny.
No, they didn't think it was funny, you know.
Well, I don't understand that, because in our society, you have the freedom of speech.
Yeah, sure. Well, whatever you say there, but, in your society, you have the freedom of speech. In my society...
It's the American society, my friend, that you live in.
Well, yes, that's true, but even in America, there are certain things you're not going to say, you know?
That is true. You got to admit, General, you know, we may have free speech, but you don't yell fire in a crowded theater, but more to the point, you don't walk into certain places and just start running your mouth for fear.
Well, in America, you should have the freedom to say the things you want. We've fought long and hard for that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you can't...
General, are you going to say that in every single neighborhood in America, you can just walk into any place and say what you want?
Well, I'm not saying in a private residence, no.
No, not in private residence. I mean, like, just walk into the... Go into the street, go down to the store, go down to the Vons, you know, and see some... And start to talk your crap down on Gavi, you know. That's the first thing a guy said to me when I come to America. He says to me, you know, you're talking a lot of crap. Why don't you go talk your crap down on Garvey?
Down on Garvey?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's go down to Garvey, man. That's hard ass, that's hardcore, you know. Hey, Todd? Yeah, they hang hard. Todd says they hang hard down there.
They hang hard down on Garvey?
Yeah, sure. So,
well, I don't know anything about hanging hard anywhere. If obviously that sounds filthy. And the filth, and you had that child say that filth.
They're not talking about, they're talking about being tough guys.
Well, what are they? I don't understand.
Well, I know. From the context you're using there, I understand perfectly what you are talking about there. Now, what do you want to do here? Oh, yeah, we have the song here for you, so you can... Todd can start singing to his heart's content, I guess. I don't know. What the hell happened to the song?
You're talking about Ram-a-lam-a Ding Dong?
Yeah.
Hey, Todd. Did I refer to Ram-a-lam-a Ding Dong? He wants to start singing now.
Well, hold on. Where is it, bud?
I'm looking for it, man. I just bought it. And I don't know what happened to the Ding Dong. There it is. God, man.
Would you not call it ding dong?
Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding.
There it is.
This is iniquitous. Stop it. Please stop it. Would you please stop that noise? God, that's driving me ape. It's driving me way out of my mind. Further out of my mind than I should be.
Todd wants to know what happened to the music.
We turned it down because it was bugging the general.
Don't tell me what that means. Don't tell me.
Well, what he said was...
No. Don't tell me, because that'll save me from a homicide charge.
No,
just don't tell me. You know, it reminds me of Delroy Lindo and Clockers. Don't tell me it'll save me from...
Hey, is this guy making fun of my kid?
He's laughing about... What are you laughing at, General?
I just don't want him to tell me what Todd said, because it'll save me from a homicide charge.
Well, he's laughing now.
Oh, so you think that's funny, huh?
No, just take it easy.
All right, I got to tell you, that's a marvelous thing that Todd is investing his time and his energies into understanding American doo-wop music, you know.
Yeah, sure. I said to Todd, you know, you listen to the doo-wop, and what other song like? Liza Marcel's Blue Moon. Yeah, I like that. What's it? Do that.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
funny enough.
Do you recognize that?
Barely, you know.
What's that song called? The gibbering of the gibbering of the Arab street.
Hey, sunshine. I'm not coming on here and.
Don't call me sunshine. America's had enough of you of your kind.
Oh wow, man, that's not fair at all, man. I come on here in good faith to talk about Christmas.
He did, bud. You're giving him a hard time, okay?
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry I didn't want to, but you started talking like Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He did pee, bud. You know, did you ever see the cuckoo nest, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's in the laboratory.
Yeah, Todd says you sound like Billy Bibbit.
Oh, boy, Phil, that's not very nice, them saying you sound like Billy Bibbit.
Billy Bibbit? You kidding?
Hey, Todd, this guy, he's a good little fellow hobby. Todd says you belong in the same place with Billy Bibbit, too. Sitting there in a semicircle with Des Ratchet. And Billy Bibbit's all, please don't tell my mother.
You know what? He hung up, didn't he?
It seems like he did, bud.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, even when I'm trying to be nice to the guy.
Well, Phil, I mean, at that point, he thought you were jacking with him, and you thought he was jacking with you.
Well, I think that I'm right calling me Billy Bibbit.
But you did. You went, I gotta agree with him there.
Yeah, that's great, bud. All the while, you're fighting the guy. Now he's off the air, and you're agreeing with him. What did I do?
Well, there was one point, Phil, where you went, that's all I'm saying, okay?
I got to tell you.
You know, all of you are very juvenile, and the audience is disgusted with the whole thing. They tune in to hear usable, workable, worthwhile information, and you're doing Billy Bibbit and that other one, and you, General, ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Wait, what did I do?
Oh, you're with the Delroy Lindo and Clarkers. Save me from a homicide. I think it's racist.
I was not being racist. I was imitating Delroy Lindo. Oh, you know what?
Get a vanilla wafer.
That's exactly my thinking.
Okay. See, the General has learned from you how to just get up and leave the studio, which is unprofessional, is not the way to deal with a bad situation, and I don't like it.
And you're blaming me.
Yes, I'm blaming you. You set the example. With your Roy, he's out there smoking your cigars.
I told him he could.
Great. So when you guys you've had enough, you get up, you walk out, and you start smoking your cigars, and I'm here to deal with the wreckage, to pick up the wreckage.
That's right, Mr. Henry. Every time you people get up...
Don't call me you people.
I'm just saying, every time you people get up and go out to smoke your cigar, you leave him. Mr. Henry's got to pick up the debris.
Well, what do you mean, debris?
He's absolutely right. Okay,
Oh, you're feeling sorry for yourself.
No, I'm not. All right, now we're going to take another break, and I'll finally get to that Twitter story, if I might, if I will. Also, this very, very interesting story about the horrible, rotten, stinking year that the Redskins have had will lead us into Joe Dickhead, and he will give us his tally. They didn't do well.
So last week they did fantastic.
Yeah, and this week they just went belly up again, so... We got to find out, man. I told them they were fired if they had the rotten week. They came through with a 12-4 mark last week. This past week, I got to find out what happened on Monday night, but they were going into Monday night. There were 4 wins, 9 defeats. So they stink on high, man. We'll just have to, we'll have to see. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back with Joe Dickhead and the professor right after a couple of these here announcements. Right, this is a good old song, man. I forget what movie I just saw this in, and for some reason it just has stayed with me.
Oh, that's Bob Dylan and Rolling Stone?
No. Queen Jane, approximately.
Well, kind of a goof.
Don't worry about it, man. Welcome back here to Phil Henry Show. What flick were we watching that was in that movie? I don't know. Might have been like...
This is 40?
This is 40? No, it was...
That's one you was in.
Yeah, for about 5 seconds. This movie that I saw, I forget. Anyway, welcome back, and what a weekend it has been. What a fantastic weekend of football games. I'm telling you, it was one of the best. The snow on the ground, the acrobatic catches, the fantastic finishes. We had down-to-the-wire ball games. The whole thing was a beautiful thing, And to tell us more about it is Joe Dickhead and the professor here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you and the fans. And, of course, we did. We sucked. Oh, God, we sucked here this past weekend. Joe Dickhead and the professor with our picks. However, the Bears defeated the Cowboys here on Monday night, Phil, 45-28. So at least the professor and I are able to pull that one out of our pants.
Now, you guys went, what, 6-9?
6 wins, 9 defeats. And I tell you, a lot of these games are very, very close, as you said, Phil. Taking a look at the scoreboard here, the professor. Professor, what did you see as the... Where did we really get tooled?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, in the early games, that Browns-Patriots game, you got to be putting me on. The Browns just lost it by a point. The Patriots came back. We had the Browns in that game, and they lose it by a point. The other game that we had was the Vikings over the Ravens. It took the Ravens a late comeback to beat the Vikings 29-26.
But the Buccaneers, you guys had the Bills in that Bucs game.
That game, yeah, right there is an example of just how lousy we are at picking football games. However, as far as this week goes, we are now at 39-32. So we've still got a, whatever it is, a seven-game difference in the seasonal record. But the finals in this weekend's football, as you mentioned, the Bengals over the Colts, we had that one right, 42-28. The Colts are really, really, Andrew Luck, yeah, sure, he's the answer. And,
well, that's not necessarily Andrew Luck. The Colts' defense is horrible.
Well, in any event, the Colts have just, they're nowhere where they used to be, and they're going away from that fan. In the next game, we had the Browns, but it was the Patriots 27-26 over the Browns. It was the Jets finally winning. I think the Jets have won another one here. They won their third in a row, 37-27, the Jets. The Chiefs all over the Redskins. Mike Shanahan, the word is, he's out there in Washington. We'll see, 45-10. The Vikings lost to the Ravens. We had the Vikings in that game, but they lost 29-26. We did pick the Pack over the Falcons. Another one of those late, big, exciting finishes there in Green Bay. Boy, I tell you, when you talk about the weather, Phil, the frozen tundra there of Green Bay.
Yeah, that frozen tundra looked real good with the Packers winning on the 22-21. We haven't been able to pull an upset special yet, Phil, because we keep announcing who we think will win the game. The Buccaneers beat the Bills 27-6. It was the Dolphins over the Steelers. There's another game we got hosed 6 ways to sunset on.
That's right. We had in that ball game the Steelers, and it took the Dolphins another late finish. The Dolphins in the late finish there to beat the Steelers in that ball game. In the next game, it was the Eagles 34, the Lions 20. We had the Lions in that game. There was no reason at all for the Lions to lose that game, and yet we got scorched.
Now, here's a game that you guys never did, had no business picking the Titans over the Broncos, but you did.
Well, we're not picking by a football scale. You got to understand, Phil, it's a new day. We're picking according, this week we were picking according to the size of the city. If it was a smaller city, we picked them to win. Nashville is smaller than Denver. We picked them to win. They got their ass handed to them.
Yeah, it was the Denver Broncos, 51, and the Nashville, or the Tennessee, well, how come... Why would we pick Nashville?
Because they play out of Nashville.
Yeah, but they're called Tennessee.
That's a state. You want me to say the state's bigger?
Yeah, we would have won if we would have picked the state.
No, you guys are picking the city, I understand.
Yeah, but they don't play for a city.
They play in a city. Look, come on, man. I mean...
Professor, will you shut up, please?
Don't tell me to shut up. I put my ass on the line for you every week.
Oh, okay, honey. Woo! Anyway, the phone back. Go, you know what? This is, I feel like Bobby Dooley and he's Steve.
Anyway, the Rams lost to the Cardinals 10-30.
It's the Cardinals 30, the Rams 10. We picked the Rams. It was the Seahawks losing to the 49ers 19-17. We picked the Seahawks. The Chargers all over the Giants. We had that one. That was our upset special, too. And we announced the winner.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
You know, we got to stop doing that.
No kidding. You guys keep announcing upset specials. You're never going to make a dime. Who'd you have in the Saints game? You must have had New Orleans, right?
We did have New Orleans, and they were all over the Panthers 31-13. And we took the Chicago... Why'd we take the Chicago Bears? We're supposed to take the smaller city. We're supposed to take Dallas. Shoot.
Yeah, but you guys won that one. Technically, you should take that as a loss.
Yeah, man. I don't know what we're going to do. We got to pay off because we say we picked the Bears.
Well, I don't know. The Bears are supposed to be, aren't they smaller than the Cowboys?
No, they're not. They're in Chicago.
You guys had better get your act together, man, or I will fire you.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Don't be saying one thing and doing something else. Now you got me confused. I say you guys should pick the Cowboys. Give all that money back.
What about the people?
Thanks a lot. Unreal.
Those two guys are, they're going to be a liability for you. You watch out, because you're going to get some gambler in here who's going to hold you responsible.
Phil, that's not a, she's saying something I think you should take full note of.
What? How are they going to, they can't hang that on me.
Some guy, some bigwig is going to say, well, I heard it on the Phil Henry show, and I don't know who this Joe Dickhead is, but just like, you know, he said it and you got it. That's, you know.
Yes, the thing that makes you laugh all the time.
Well, he's got the Bears down here. He picked the Bears before the game. Now, just because a guy says, here's what my criteria is, does that necessarily mean, I mean, he's paying off on the Bears. He picked the Bears. He's got to pay off on the Bears. I mean, he won that. Okay. And is he actually taking bets? I mean.
Yeah, he's got the sports book.
Well, then he's going to have to pay the Bears if that's who he picked. And you know something else? People would have said to him, hey, Joe, you better check with the people that operate your money changing there, buddy, because, you know, they must have come up to the window there or wherever the hell you guys operate in Vegas and said, hey, by the way, I thought he was picking the smaller city. That'd be Dallas. So I'm betting Dallas.
No, but if it says they're choosing Chicago.
Yeah, well, he's not giving points, so I don't know what, I don't know. The whole thing to me is strictly from hunger.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, well, next week there'll be another set of criteria that he'll probably change at the last minute. But for now, he's claiming that they're 6-9, which means that they are 39-32 on the season. And they go into next week. That's not a very impressive mark anyway. So even when he's doing the fancy-dancy that this cat's doing, he's all in a heap, this dude. All right, speaking of football, we'll come back. We also have Vernon Dozier. By the way, Vernon Dozier is going to be with us next hour to talk about what he calls, well, we can't use the word that he uses on the website, but we, if you want to know what it's called on the website, go take a look. The most sissy hits, not the most brutal hits in the NFL, but the sissiest hits. And essentially, he's talking about hits that people thought were brutal and were not. Head on over to our store, our online store, you guys, because as we say, it's a big Christmas sandwich and we all got to take a bite. We've got stuff to stuff that stocking with from the Phil Henry online store. We've got gift subscriptions. We've got Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts and hoodies. We've got Bobby Dooley keychains. We got ball caps. We got shirts. We got CDs. We got the Phil Henry Show shot glass. We got the Phil Henry Show coffee mug. In fact, Bud, have you got that?
Yeah, right there on camera number one on account if you want to see it.
There it is on camera one. Those of you who are not on Phil TV and HD, well, then that's just...
That's just too damn bad?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, listen, I wanted to mention one thing. We're going to be doing a free Phil Henry video cast on Ustream at some point near and dear in the future. So we'll keep you advised of that. If you want to see us perform the show, we will be doing a free one on Ustream soon. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, back next hour with more from Vernon Dozier. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Now, Vernon Dozier is holding on the line, and he wanted to talk to you before.
Well, it's too late now.
I'll talk with him.
Talk to the coach. The general and the coach are talking to each other. Vernon Dozier with us, and he has for us here what is called his sissy hit of the week. This is actually a hit from last year. I don't know why we're bringing it up now, but... So that's what he wanted to talk to me about?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, okay, coach. Well, you bet. Well, I understand perfectly. Well, it's the same thing in the military, yes. Yes? Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Hey, General, we got...
All right, well, they're giving me the high sign, coach. Do you want to go on the air now, or do you want to take some time and just to collect yourself? I certainly would understand. He's going... Well, they've got you on the air now.
That's all right.
Hey, Coach, it's Phil Henry.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good, good. What did you want to say to me?
Well, I had said to the general there, I wanted to to give you an idea as to why we're using a hint from last year. I just heard you ask the question, too.
And can I tell you, he said...
Well, it's all right, General. I'm on the air right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can tell him yourself, then.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Very good.
And thank you again, General.
Thanks, General.
That's quite all right. My pleasure.
Thank you, General.
My pleasure indeed.
Anyway, Phil, the reason why we're using this hit from last year is I think we need to clean up something. There's a little bit of unfinished business from last season. As we head into the playoffs here this year, the National Football League, we've got some unfinished business from the 2D2. Well, there I go again. I can't say that.
2012.
And that is the hit that Brandon Stoddard of the Seattle Seahawks put on Wes Welker of the New England Patriots. There's a guy on YouTube named Hitstick, and there's a few other people that love to put this hit in their top five hits of all time. As a matter of fact, I think I just saw a website that is devoted to the number one hits in the history of the National Football League, and, you know, they got this one. Now, you have it on your website, right?
I have it on the website, but if people want to look at it for themselves, it's on YouTube. It's Brandon Browner. And Brandon, not Brandon Stoddard, Brandon Browner.
I'm sorry, Brandon Browner.
Browner.
I don't understand. He's Browner?
No, it's Brandon Browner is the young man's name.
All right, I didn't understand what Henry was saying. He said Brown something. And I didn't mean by race. It sounded like you were talking about somebody.
Yes, I know what you mean. I had the same thought myself, Coach.
Yeah.
Someone needed to wipe.
Okay, isn't that great? Well, now that we have that cleared up, we don't have to talk about that anymore.
All right, Phil, don't go little girl on us, you know.
Well, I tried to tell him that, Coach.
Don't go little girl on us. We're perfectly capable of understanding.
I'm not going little girl on anybody. You guys saying Brandon Browner, oh, wow, is that somebody forgot to wipe? That's the guy's name.
Okay, I mean, it's a perfectly normal... Are you going to start breaking my castanets over this?
No, I'd like to move on with as little bit of this ridiculous commentary as is possible.
In any event, Phil, Brandon Browner's stick on Wes Welker last year, everyone talked about it like it's just, ooh. Now, we're going to review this, and Phil has it there on the Phil TV. And those of you at home who may have a computer in front of you, I know you all have computers, you can look up the Brandon Browner hit on Wes Welker from the 2012 season. And we're going to go through this. Now, Phil, go ahead and hit the play. Now, this is a play between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. It's a play from scrimmage. It starts at about the 42-yard line. I can't even tell you who won the game. New England was out in front 14-10 at the time. It was in the second quarter, about 7 minutes left. So the ball game is essentially just underway. Back drops Tom Brady. He sends his wide receiver, Wes Welker, into the sort of short zone on the left side. He's to the near sideline. Brady lets it go. He completes the pass to Welker at about the 39-yard line. Welker now hauls it in like a good guy, you know, a good wide receiver would. And he begins to turn upfield, and he is met at the 40-yard line by Brandon Browner, who has taken a bead on him. So as Welker hauls the ball in, Browner is nowhere near the football. And I think that gives you an idea as to the difference between Brandon Browner as a defensive back and Wes Welker as a receiver. Welker takes the ball in, and Brandon Browner, is he anywhere in the neighborhood? Is he even in the same time zone? No. But as Welker hauls the ball in, Browner decides, now's my chance. And I mean, he lays into him. Browner gives us everything he's got. Now, I've paused the tape, Phil, as you can see, and your listeners can see. I've paused it right at the point that Browner hits Welker. And I mean, he's going to lay him out. It is an amazing stick. And by all rights, Browner should separate Welker from the football. There's the hit. Down goes Welker at the 39-yard line. The Seahawks are jumping up and down like a bunch of, well, just like a bunch of girls that just caught the garter belt there. You know, at the there's only one problem with the hit, Phil. Welker, though he's been hit and he's been cracked and he's down, guess what? He held on to the football. And not only does Welker hold on to the football, there he is. As he gets up, he's still got the ball there in his right hand, I think. He gets up. Sure, he looks like he's stunned a little bit, but he gets up. He's walking. He doesn't show any signs of any ill health except he sort of stretches his jaw muscles out, straightens his helmet.
He puts his arm up in the air like a good disciplined player will to say, hey, take me out. You know, I need to come out. I need to sort of collect myself. That's a hell of a stick. But so far, the only damage that's been done is that Welker's got to go out for one play. The pass was complete. Welker held on to it. And Browner, thinking that he had the big stick of a lifetime, he got the top five sticks of all time there on Hit Stick or whoever that little girl is. And these other little girls putting their sticks of all time. Let me tell you something. That was the biggest sissy stick I ever saw. Now, check this out. Welker's going to keep on walking, and now he goes into a trot. He's even trotting off the field. Phil, my point is very simply this. You cannot call a hit brutal or vicious when you don't even separate the player from the football. Now, that's rule number one. I tell my defensive backs, you guys want to go on the Olympics, and maybe they got some kind of an event where it's hit the guy and look real cool doing it. Well, you can do that. If you want to go out and start a whole other sport where all you have to do is look good, even though the other guy scores a touchdown, well, we can do that too. I said, but in football, when you tackle a man, and you put a tackle on a man like that, and you throw your body into the play like that, and you have decided to sell out and put everything you've got into hitting a guy like that, you damn well better separate him from that football. Or as far as I'm concerned, you not only didn't make a great play, but I'm going to single you out at the meeting that week. As soon as we sit down and start watching film, I'm going to say, hey, everybody, let's take a look at Brandon Browner and what a badass he is. Look at this stick. Wow. Why, Welker almost dropped the football, but not quite.
So I think you're making a very good point here, Coach. You're saying you may give the guy points for style, but it's not a brutal hit.
You cannot call that a brutal hit when the man doesn't fumble the football or isn't separated from the football. When he gets up, when he trots off the field, when he shows no ill effects, he didn't even need help going off the field. So this is Coach Vernon Dozier, and I'm saying to Brandon Browner of the Seattle Seahawks, sweetie, maybe you were wearing too high a heel that day. Maybe your dress got in the way. I don't know what the problem was, but that little white boy you hit him like a freight train. That guy didn't lose the football. He didn't lose consciousness. He didn't lose nothing. Now, I know what a good hit is, and as you know, we have the Coach Dozier Stick of the Week. And we'll have our Stick of the Week later on. But I wouldn't call that a Stick of the Week, the year, the month, the century. In fact, like I said, I would take that player at the next team meeting, single him out, ask him what size girdle he wears.
All of these references to women being disparaging.
Oh, come on, Ms. Gray. I don't mean to be disparaging, but I'm saying to a football player, you ask him how high his heels are, and he ain't going to take that.
It's like I was saying the other day about some of these gay comments. They're not a nice thing to do, but it's really meant to offend the target of the comment, not to slam women, but a football player, you know.
Well, I don't need to have it explained. You're making mockery of women. We can't play football.
Well, Ms. Gray, with all due respect, I would hardly expect women to get out on a football. Well,
I think women can play just as hard as that.
Are you kidding me or something? You'd wind up, you'd wind up crying and everything.
Yeah, you probably would cry.
Margaret, I think they're making women, girls always cry when they get hit too hard.
No, we do not always cry. We have more, women have more stamina than men when it comes to pain.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is the argument. Man, nothing makes me angrier than that.
All right, hold on, because Margaret now and the coach are going to get into it here.
We've had this discussion before. He thinks he gets so upset.
Well, you're saying that women can withstand pain more than men.
Absolutely. It happens to be a scientific fact.
What? Yeah, right. If women could, then they'd have women in the army, because you could be tortured by the Al-Qaeda, and you wouldn't give up. No way.
What are you talking about, Bud?
Bud, it's not just about being able to withstand torture, all right?
Yeah, but General, you're a general. Would you have a woman in there?
Well, I can tell you. All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to be right back, folks. We'll discuss this and more. I like what the coach said about that stick, though. You know?
Yeah, he's making a good point. Man, if you're going to hit a guy like that, You got to have something to show for it, you know?
Exactly. You got to have something to show for it. That hit by Brenner, why do people get excited about that? I think it's because it's like in auto racing. Wow, look at that. That was a really major, major crash. But, I mean, it would be like getting excited about a crash in auto racing where it was just a flat tire, but it looked really spectacular.
What?
Never mind. We'll be right back here on The Phil Henry Show. 855-500-7445. Margaret and Coach Dozier will get into it here next on the whole women and stamina question. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here with Coach Dozier. And we're talking now with Coach Dozier, Margaret Gray, about stamina. We were just looking at the coach's a new series he has called Football's Most Overrated Sticks, Coach Dozier's P-Hit Series. And the first one you have here for us, Coach, is Brandon Bronner's hit on Wes Welker from last season, which everyone thought was such a major, major hit, and you've called that the most overrated.
Yeah, absolutely. The most overrated in recent memory. I mean, you cannot, as I said, Phil, I won't keep harping on it, but you cannot call any hit. If you want to call a hit brutal, if you want to call a hit vicious, all right, that's fine. But the first thing it's got to do is separate the football from the man. You cannot call it brutal or vicious if it can't even separate the guy from the football, okay? That means that you were able to knock the guy down in a very spectacular way, but you didn't knock him down hard enough to get the ball out of his hand. Now, in this particular play with Wes Welker, I think it said second down. Well, they're going to have a third down and short. He was about a yard short of the first down marker. And New England's got the lead in that football game. Now, I don't know. I think they went on to lose the game. But if Seattle is hanging their hat on games like that, if they're saying, well, hey, that's a big-time hit, look at that. We got all over it. I just don't see it.
All right. Now, Margaret, you were talking about women, and I don't know how we got into this, the whole idea of women.
I know how we got into it. Margaret said that women ought to be able to play football and maybe ought to take a stick like that. And I said, you've got to be kidding me.
That's exactly right. And I said women can. It's well known by all the authorities that women are able to withstand pain far more than men. And I don't think there is any doubt to that at all.
All right, Coach, I've got and Margaret, let me just see this. I have an article here, Feeling Your Pain. Any mother will tell you that if men had to go through the excruciating pain of childbirth, the human race, excuse me for a minute, this is every night like this.
You got to find out, you got an allergy.
I think you have some sort of an allergy.
You're coughing every night.
Every night at this time I start coughing. I'm not hydrating enough, I don't think. There, I just had some coffee.
What do you mean hydrate?
I'm not drinking enough water. excuse me. According to feminine lore, guys simply don't handle pain well. The tiniest twinge of discomfort is enough to reduce most men into helpless, whimpering heaps. Women, on the other hand, can handle the tough stuff. In fact, you can ratchet up the old painometer to agony and beyond, and most women will soldier on without flinching.
Absolutely correct. That's absolutely right.
And you love to lord it over us.
All right, now hold on. The trouble with that theory is it's wrong.
What did it say?
It's wrong. Now men have the science to prove it.
Aha! I told you.
Wait, hold on for a minute. What stupid-ass website is this?
Wait a minute. This is a website that was sent to me by a fellow female, Nikki. It's called medicine.net.
And who sent that?
Nikki, our technical director.
Well, now I've heard it all. Stabbed in the...
Yeah, how about that? You got shanked in the back, Brenda. And she didn't shank you. All she did was send Philly information.
Right in the middle of the show, a fellow female goes, oh, here, Phil. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
Hey, Nikki, this is Coach Dozier, Nikki. I think I admire your honesty.
No, you don't admire. You're saying that to make me look more like the horse's ass.
Hey, I think you made yourself look like that.
Margaret, let me just read this.
No, I didn't make myself look like anything.
You made yourself look like a horse backing out of a stable. The only thing to look at? Ass. Okay?
You know something? If I were... Never mind.
If you were what?
If I was in the same room with you, I'd slap the words out of your mouth before you're even able to say them.
Wow. You really want to get it on that way, huh?
anytime you say, hey, come on. Do you realize that there's young people listening? They're listening to a teacher. They're listening to a high school football coach. They're listening to a writer. Two adults. Two people with very enviable positions in society. And now you've reduced it to, I'd slap the words out of your mouth before you could say them.
Yeah, she did it. I didn't do it. And I'm on the side of truth. I'm on the side of medicine.com and Nikki and all the women that are backing me up tonight.
All the women that are backing, that's a hot one.
Would you hold on for a minute? According to Feminine, well, you already heard that. The laboratory research seems to indicate that for many kinds, but not all kinds, of stimuli, women have a lower tolerance for pain, says Linda Laresh, a professor of oral medicine at the University of Washington.
Well, what is that? A professor of oral medicine? What's that got to do with anything?
Ever heard of a dentist? Oh, that's where most people are afraid of pain.
Wait. But what exactly that means is a puzzle.
Oh, so they don't know what it means.
What do you mean they don't know what it means? If a man can withstand more pain...
Wait, but what exactly what it means is a puzzle. Larache and other pain researchers across the country are trying to work through. The fact is, no one really knows for sure if women and men perceive pain differently, let alone how they react to it. Well, then how the hell could she have said what she said?
There you go. So in the very same article, to get people to read it, they say, well, it may not be true. And...
Well, what they're saying is they don't know how men and women react. So it isn't necessarily true that y'all are able to withstand pain more.
Oh, that we all? Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Clem.
Clem? Do you know that I've been in Los Angeles for a long time, lady? A long time.
But not long enough to learn how to call it Los Angeles.
Hey, Robert Mitchum called it Los Angeles in the beginning of the movie Tombstone.
What? What is he talking about?
In the beginning of what movie? Tombstone?
Yeah.
Actually, he does. He's talking about the... Robert Mitchum does the narration at the beginning, and he calls it Los Angeles.
Well, Robert Mitchum was a pothead, and everyone knows that.
It's a hell of a thing to call a man when he's no longer with us.
Robert Mitchum was a what?
He smoked the weed. Everyone knows that.
Well, I don't know it, lady, and you better take that back, okay? Robert Mitchum, Bob Mitchum, was one of the last real men that this country ever had.
On screen, yes. How do you know what he was like in real life?
It doesn't matter. I am asking you now to take that back.
No, I won't.
Mr. Henry, would you direct her to take that back? She called Bob Mitchum. Please take it back.
Margaret.
I'm not going to take back something that's true.
Yeah, but the guy has passed on.
I'm not taking it back.
Will you? God, come on, man.
You know, you better call him back.
Damn it, nervous breakdown.
Wait, hold on. I'll call him back. Yes, he obviously was getting frustrated with you, Margaret, because you wanted to stick it in, twist it, break it off, and then stick another one in, twist that and break it off, and you just started breaking it off when he hung up.
Well, I'm glad you're paying so much attention, General. That's not what I was doing.
Yes, you were.
Well, look. I don't know how we got to Robert Mitchum. We're talking about, because he pronounced it Los Angeles.
Yes, and I said that he was pronouncing it wrong, and he brought up Bob Mitchum, not me. And where does he get off calling him Bob? He's not in the entertainment business. Bob Mitchum is one of the greats, and will always be one of the greats. But people in the entertainment, yes, we call him Bob, but he doesn't get to call it, well.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Can I call him Bob?
No, you may not. You call him Robert.
Okay, Robert Mitchum. Wasn't he arrested for possession of...
A long time ago, Phil. What a... That's really dirty pool. A long time ago. No one remembers. He got a contact high. I don't know.
All right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll find out whether Robert Mitchum got, you know, busted for... the week. He did, man. Yeah, hello, Vernon. Yes, Coach Dozier. Now, about Bob Mitchum, he really did. Was it a contact high, or what are you doing? Hey, welcome back to world famous Phil Henry Show here at philhenryshow.com, and of course online at philhenryshow.com, our online store. Gift subscriptions for this Christmas season.
And it sounds like you're playing Christmas music, too.
Yes, we're playing Sylvester. What? Anyway, Get over and get a gift certificate, gift subscription for the one you love or the one you don't love. And also, of course, our online store as well. Vernon Dozier, head football coach at Belmar Academy. Margaret Gray with us as we talk about pain. We started out the discussion here this evening. It was the coach's new series called the P Hits, football's all-time P Hits, the most overrated sticks in football. There's an awful lot that is said about brutal and vicious hits in the National Football League. But some of them are not as brutal or vicious as they appear, and we were looking at the very well-known hit by Brandon Browner on Wes Welker from last season, 2012 season. Browner hitting Welker and hitting him in a manner that looked for all the world like it was a pretty tough hit, but Coach, not so.
No, getting back to what we originally said, you got to be able to separate the man. You got to separate the man from the football. You don't do that. You're out there, you know, showing off, but you're not a football player. I mean, yeah, you're a football. It was just a big glorified tackle. And you could have done and spent less wear and tear on your own body, too. Keep in mind, when you hit a man like that, you're not just punishing him, you're punishing yourself. And the wear and tear on your own body, making a tackle like that, which you can make a million different ways and not have all of that ridiculous theatrics that doesn't do anything other than drop the guy. Any other tackle's going to drop the guy. And you're going to put a stick on a guy like that where you come flying out of nowhere and you stop him like a brick wall. Brother, I better see the football flying in the opposite direction. Like I said, if I had that guy in my locker room on a Monday morning, I'd say, here's Mrs. Browner, and she was in the game, and she made this tackle here. Isn't that exciting? Ooh!
Well, I that's ridiculous, you know, Phil. My feeling is that... that's another facet of being a man, which is to mock other men for their execution and what they do. But we're talking now about pain. We're off of the topic of whether someone made the tackle gooder or not gooder, but made the good tackle, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up because there's nothing,
There's nothing what?
Well, all right, you asked me, I'll tell you.
You better believe I asked you.
See, she belches. That's the part. I've heard you take her to task for that, Phil.
Margaret, why do you do that?
I've told you a million times. I'm not going to say it again.
I've heard her say she doesn't want to shred her esophagus or some asinine thing like that. You do it, ma'am, because I think you love to see the reaction of the men. And I think you're always sticking it in and breaking it off. You know, and I...
Well, there you go again with sticking it in and breaking it off. Let's talk about pain. Phil just said there's a new study that says there is no proof that women can actually withstand pain more than men. However, it did not say that men withstand pain better than women.
All right, so we're in a standoff. Men withstand pain just as well as women.
I don't believe that. I think women do.
All right, well, here's the thing that may actually reinforce Margaret a little bit. The challenging part is teasing out the information, according to this article that I'm reading in medicine.net, aspects of pain. In financial terms, pain costs the United States roughly $100 billion a year annually, including 515 million lost workdays, according to the American Pain Foundation. Approximately 25 million Americans suffer from acute pain due to injuries or surgery. Laboratory studies show a clear difference in pain tolerance levels between men and women. Laboratory studies show a clear difference in pain tolerance levels between men and women. When healthy men and women are subjected to heat and other types of pain tests, women almost always report feeling discomfort first.
There you go. There you go.
No, that doesn't prove anything.
Oh, come on. That's scientific. You want science? There it is.
All right. Well, that says that in those laboratory studies, yes. According to Roger Fillingham, who is the Ph.D. associate professor at the College of Dentistry at the University of Florida, Gainesville.
What is with this College of Dentistry?
I told you. Why are people afraid of going to a dentist? On account of the pain.
Well, he says it takes a lower temperature for a woman to tell you that this feels painful.
Wait, hold on for just a minute.
Let Phil finish, okay?
Hold on, Margaret. The laboratory studies show rather convincingly that women have a lower pain threshold and pain tolerance than men. That has been fairly consistently shown in the experimental studies that have been done.
All right, now hold on. I want to make a point. Men are socialized not to acknowledge pain. Oh, how about that?
Wait. What kind of fancy bull crap are you talking?
Well, this is not bull crap, Mr. Dozier. Men are socialized by other men and by society not to acknowledge pain. Men are told that if they acknowledge pain, they are weak. If they show weakness, they show vulnerability. If they show vulnerability, that means defeat. And if men show an ability to be defeated, that means they are not as desirable to the female. And she will move on to another male.
Hey, excuse me for just 1 minute. Are you in a tent talking about Jesus, or are you just talking to human beings?
What does that mean?
You know exactly. You're going, oh, hell. I don't like being talked to like you got a snake in one hand and a collection basket in the other, and I'm standing there with a... Jeez.
Go ahead, finish your thought. You're standing there what?
I'm standing there with a bow tie, and I'm scratching the crack. I'm scratching the crack of my ass.
Well, you finally got it said.
I finally got it said, yeah.
Finally got what said?
I finally got it said that she's lording it over me. I don't know what she means.
Well, I think that what you just said there shows your intolerance for religion, your intolerance for women.
No, ma'am.
Yes, it does. It shows your intolerance. A snake in one hand, a collection plate in the other. You've got on a bow tie and your fingers up.
I didn't say... Ma'am, what I'm telling you, Margaret, is this. You're preaching at me. Going to women. You're trying to overshout me and over, you know, you're trying to overtalk it and everything like that. Okay?
Well, what a debating technique you have, and your ability to form words is just fantastic.
Well, you know what? I'm doing the best I can with what the Lord gave me. And what the Lord has given me is you going, and the women, men are so, all that bull crap.
Well, let's just stop yelling at each other. What Margaret is saying is kind of a interesting point. Men are socialized. I mean, we are. Look, do we cry as often or as frequently or as openly as women? The answer to that is no. Do we feel like crying perhaps as much as women do? Probably yes, although what we've done is we've layered it over with anger, you know?
Don't start getting fancy with me, Phil. You know, I don't feel like crying as much as a woman.
What we've done as men is we take pain, emotional pain, and through God knows how many thousands of generations of socialization, we layer it over with anger. The minute we feel any emotional pain, we get angry. Or we just sort of disassociate from it somehow. We don't go to tears. We don't go to releasing it with tears. Women do. See, so I don't think that emotional pain is the question. I think we feel it as much as women do. But we're told that we have a certain role. Women are told they have a certain role. And those roles necessitate a certain way of behaving. It's called persona. You know?
Yeah, every time you get into that persona, you know, you know just enough psychology, Phil, to be dangerous.
Will you listen to him? He's making very good sense, for once.
All right, I'll give you that.
For once, huh?
Look, Phil...
Yes, for once, you're making sense.
I think I make sense more than that.
Phil, can I just jump in here before you get your feelings hurt to the point where you give a speech? Okay, because I've already heard her give a speech.
Look,
No, I've already heard her go, and the women of the hair, doing all that. I think that what Margaret's saying is a load of old crap, and I won't. That's all I want to say.
So you don't want to debate it anymore?
No, I've already debated it. What you're saying is a load and a half, and it's stinking up the whole yard, and that's it. I won't,
Well, you've got to somehow debate her.
What? Debate what? I've already said. She's full of it, and,
I think you don't want to say it. You don't want to comment on the whole socialization thing.
Oh, that's a bunch of...
All right, Coach, we're going to take a break then, and I'll let you go, huh?
Well, what's that supposed to mean? She gets to stay?
She's a co-host of the show.
Oh, that's right. All right, well, anyway, Phil, thank you very much. It's been great.
Did he say it sucked?
Yeah, just heard him say it at the end.
See, he doesn't want to admit that he's wrong. Now, Coach, if you're listening, and I know you are... You know that your big stick of the week thing...
By the way, no, thank you, Dickman, for putting me back on.
No, goodbye.
Coach, want to say one more thing.
What do you want to say, Coach?
Wow, you actually hung a phone up on me. That hasn't been done since 1984. 1984 was the last time someone slammed a phone down. Boy, I tell you, the last guy to slam...
There, I just did it again, man. So that's two times in the year 2013 to make up for all those years in between. What are you looking at, bud?
Nothing.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to close out here. So I think what I think you made a good point about socialization, that men are taught not to stay, to show pain. So I don't think that those guys can actually...
That's what I'm saying, Phil. I think you have to look a gift horse up the mouth. I don't know.
All right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Close out, philhenryshow.com. And yes, sir. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What, bud?
When's it?
It's Merle Haggard, man. Don't go there with Merle Haggard, bud. No way.
Oh, Merle Haggard's one. Listen to this song. I'm tired of this dirty old city. Oh, I love this.
And tired. All right. Too much work.
This is hillbilly music.
Yeah, so what?
Enough play.
Gotta tell them something about you going Billy.
You know we've got mail about you going Billy.
Look, dude, you know, first, what do you mean me going Billy?
Oh, we got some mail. Some listeners were concerned you might go Billy because you were playing a lot of, you know, the hillbilly music and so forth. Oh, I love this. Woo! This is a real finger snapper.
I like this song. All right, I don't understand that going Billy thing.
There's a lot of people saying, are you going Billy or what?
I thought you were going Billy.
Well, you knock it off with going Billy. Are you talking about I just like country music?
More than that, they said you're going Billy. That's more than country. That is clogging everything.
Yeah, they asked if you have a clog fest, because they had that big clog festival, you know?
What big clog festival?
There was a big clogging festival in West Virginia over the summer. And there were people asking, were you going to be there? Because there was a sizable crowd.
You're kidding.
No, I am not kidding. They wanted to know, had you entered? There was probably a couple of hundred people that were going up there to see you.
In a clogging festival?
Yeah.
Why?
I told you, because they think you're going Bill.
Yeah, that's it. If Phil's going Bill. That was the whole thing. Phil going Bill.
Get out of here, Phil going Bill. Because I listened to one country song?
Well, it was a collection of incidences. There was one time you played a song called... I'm a man of constant sorrow.
Yeah, that's one too.
Okay, go ahead and make fun of it.
Well, you did.
And naturally, they drew the conclusion you'd gone Billy.
Gone Billy. I've refused to believe that.
Refused to believe what?
That a bunch of people went to some clogging fair in West Virginia thinking I'd show up. Forget it.
I swear to God... And I don't believe in God, so...
Yeah, whoa!
Almost got you there.
You didn't almost get me. By the way, Margaret, what is it with you? You don't believe in... I understand you don't believe in God. But you're all about, you know, the winter solstice and stuff.
Don't, no. You're not going to trip me up like you did that dumbass from Wisconsin, Phil. I got more brains than those people. I celebrate the winter solstice as a man-made event. And I worship man-made things. You see, as an atheist, which I respect, by the way, you have to understand, I do respect the religions of the different, you know, they can do what they want. But what I'm saying is, as an atheist, I do not believe in ghosts and in spirits. Those clowns that you talked to?
The ones from, yeah, the atheists from Wisconsin.
You got that one woman all flustered because you said that paganism was based on a belief in deities.
Well, it is. It is. And she was talking about how, you know, she's going to celebrate the solstice and bake cookies. And I said, what are you celebrating, man? If you're an atheist, you don't believe in a spiritual world. And
you don't have to go through it again, Phil.
I'm going to go through it for the audience that didn't hear it. And I said, if you're an atheist, then you shouldn't be celebrating, quote unquote, pagan events. She goes, well, why? I said, because pagans believed in gods. They believed in deities, you know. And she said, well, and I said, I think you guys aren't just, you're not an atheist, you're just anti-Christian, you know.
Well, so are you.
I'm not anti-Christian. What are you talking about, man?
Well, I was putting it down, everything.
Well, I believe in freedom of religion, you know. I'm not going to sit here and kiss up to Christianity. Could care less, man. I'm just saying, you know, everybody's gets their shot on this show, man. So I knock Christians, knock Muslims, and we knock atheists. I will tell you this. I do believe in some kind of a law, universal law. I will only go that far, and no further.
Is it a guy?
I'm not going any further, okay? I'm not turning this into a whole... I'm not rapping about religion, okay?
And I'm not either. I'm just saying, you're not going to get me like you got that empty-headed numbskull from the atheist organization in Blasted Whistle, Wisconsin, wherever that place... I don't know where that place was.
All right. So, in other words, you worship man-made things.
On the winter solstice, I worship the Great Stone, which is an earth stone, okay? You following?
Yeah.
Don't act like you got me, Phil.
Just tell me what you're talking about.
All right. The Great Earth Stone, which is of the earth. I worship that, but it's not God. It's a rock.
Yeah, but you still worship it.
No, when I say worship, I look at it and I go, that's a great rock.
Okay.
Don't you, you just did the Billy Bibbit thing.
Yeah, I didn't see that, Mr. Andy.
All right, go ahead.
So, I'll go, oh, it's the winter solstice. Look at that rock. Forget it. Where are the Roytans?
In my bag.
Don't you laugh too, Dickman.
Well, Margaret.
No, forget it.
Okay, great, man. Oh, look at that rock. What a great rock.
I said forget it. Drop it.
Fine. I wanted to get into one more football note here before we... Gosh darn it, where are my glasses?
Those fall on the floor, Mr. Henry. That's probably all now.
Can't read anything, man, without my glasses. Oh, here they are. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year for a Redskin owner, Dan Snyder. In one sense, there's much to admire in the story of Dan Snyder, the 49-year-old owner of the Washington Redskins. He's, after all, a true American entrepreneurial business success and a man who was able to fulfill his boyhood dream of owning a sports team. He grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland, in a modest apartment, the son of a journalist father who worked for UPI. Father and son watched Redskin games at home, spreading out on a blanket in front of the TV as if they were actually at the stadium. On occasion, the two of them actually attended a game. Snyder fondly recalls going to his first live Redskin game at the age of 6 with his father. I still remember holding his hand and seeing RFK Stadium packed. It was unbelievable. In the business world, Snyder was a boy wonder, someone akin perhaps to Mark Cuban or any of the other new boy wonders in the tech world. He dropped out of the University of Maryland after only a few semesters to start a business chartering flights to fly college kids to sporting events. By age 20, Dan Snyder was a millionaire. He started a magazine that targeted college kids, backed by Mortimer Zuckerman, the real estate magnate and owner of U.S. News and World Report, and Fred Drasner, then the magazine's publisher, fronted nearly $3 million for the venture. They lost it all, but they stuck with Snyder. He struck me as a very talented businessman with great energy and creativity, said Zuckerman. So anyway, he buys this team. I'm going through a whole big thing here.
You get to the point, will you?
Where'd she come from?
There's no more Roytans.
I'm getting to the point. Anywhere, he reinvented himself. He made a whole lot of money. He bought the Redskins. They're the third most valuable franchise in the NFL. But here's the thing. They stink this year. And the owner is supposed to, of course, put a winning product on the field. And Snyder has failed miserably. Under Snyder, the franchise has just 4 winning seasons in 15. During those years, Snyder has acted less like an owner than an entitled fan, at times petulant, thin-skinned, and impatient. Poor football decisions. All kinds of criticism. And, of course, this year he has the Redskin issue. So the whole point of the article is that it's going to get worse before it gets better for Dan Snyder.
Do you think he'll change the name of the team? Of course he's going to change the name of the team.
He has to change the name of the team. He's got no choice but to change the name of the team, and he will, because it's not going to get any better. You know, it's not going to get any better. You're talking about Native Americans here, man. You're talking about people who've, you know, everybody agrees have had it just about as bad as anyone, if not worse. These are people that we owe a little something to. And walking around calling our football teams the Redskins and going, that doesn't matter. Why would anybody care about being called a Redskin? I mean, we got to do the right thing here. And if they don't like it, they don't like it, man. So sooner or later, he's going to change the name of the team. And even sports fans are starting to come around, football fans.
Well, not the Redskin fans that I talk to. Frank knows. You know, Bill Cuccinelli. Bill is a longtime Washington Redskin fan. And he said to me that he'd walk off the top of that warehouse he owns over there in Long Beach.
I don't know any warehouse that he owns.
He owns 3 of them. And there's storage facilities for all of the big ships that come in. He said he'd walk right off the top of one of them. And he would turn it into a television event.
Because the Redskins changed their name.
Yes.
So he'll commit suicide. What a jackass. I hope he does.
What a thing to say.
Well, I hope he does. Some jackball threatens suicide because the Redskins changed their names.
Their names us?
Name. Phil Hendry Show. See you tomorrow night. Woo!